Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The Bible is full of promises to God's people, to those who will accept Jesus as their Savior and serve Him as Lord and obey Him. I think at different times in our life, different stages of our lives, different promises that God has made become more important to us. I want to talk about just one of those promises today, and it's found in the Great Commission. Matthew 28, the last few verses of that chapter are one of the Great Commission scriptures. And I've preached on this before to talk about the Great Commission. I don't think I've ever talked about this part of it. Matthew 28, verse 20, the Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The promise to Christians, the promise is that God is with us always, all the time. I'm pretty sure that we don't appreciate that or experience that or take advantage of that the way that we should. We're just not used to being with somebody all the time, right? We are with our parents or our children, we're with them a lot, but not all the time. We're with our spouse a lot, but not all the time. Friends, co-workers, people, fellow students and people that you hang around with socially, you're with those folks a lot, but not all the time. And Jesus said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's every second of every minute of every day of our lives. Christian, God is with us. Now, that should do a lot of things for us. Unfortunately, one of the first things it does is scares us. Everything that we do in the presence of God. Every word that we say in the presence of God. Every place that we go with the presence of God. Every action, every reaction, boy, when that guy cuts you off in traffic and you react, God is present. When you go to the store and you're standing in that long checkout line and the checker is exceedingly slow, and you finally get up there and they can't figure out the price of this item and you react, God is present. Every time we don't act when we should, God is present. And sometimes, as Christians, we get so worried. I hate to use that word. We get so concerned. We get so afraid of doing something wrong or not doing something right in the presence of God that we don't enjoy God's presence. And this is a promise of blessing. We should really enjoy the presence of God. There are a lot of benefits of being in the presence of God. Romans 8:16, the Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And you'll notice that the first Spirit is capitalized, meaning the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that that God is present with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us is assurance that we are Christians. Listen, when you first got saved and periodically throughout your Christian life, Satan will do his best to convince you that you're not a Christian. You know, maybe you commit a sin. Maybe you make some kind of mistake and Satan will bust to see there's nothing to this. You're not a Christian. Well, the Holy Spirit in us is evidence, is proof, is assurance that we belong to God. So the presence of God is assurance of salvation. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit," again capitalized, "also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Aren't there times in your life when you know you need to pray, and when you do pray and you just don't know what to say? I've faced that a lot. You know you need to call on the Lord in prayer, and so you begin to pray and you just get past "Our Father" and you don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us, communicates with God in heaven for us. Sometimes when we can't even speak, with groanings that can't be uttered, to communicate with us. What a blessing to have the presence of God with us then. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In the presence of the Lord, there are times of refreshing. Sometimes it's in a worship service like this. Last Sunday, I preached on the judgment. And that's kind of a frightening message, especially if you're not a Christian. It's extremely frightening. And even as I began to prepare that message, I fussed a little with the Lord. Now, I don't want to talk. You know, I don't want to preach about the judgment. That might not have been a time of refreshing. But oftentimes in a worship service, when we hear the Word of God in song, or we hear the Word of God spoken, or we hear the prayer of a fellow believer, it's a refreshing time. I hope this will be a refreshing time this morning. Sometimes it's when we're with just a group of other believers and you just get to talking about the Lord and His blessings, and it's a refreshing time. Sometimes you're all by yourself, just you and the Lord, driving down the road, singing a song, praying at the house, whatever it might be, and there are times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. He refreshes our soul. Those are all good things. Those are all things that we should enjoy. We shouldn't be afraid of the presence of God. We should embrace the presence of God and be thankful for it. I want to mention three other things this morning, a little more detail, that we have as a benefit of having God with us. The first one is one we don't often think about, and it's one we don't take advantage of hardly ever. In the presence of God, in His presence, there is boldness. I want you to listen to the very first words, the very first verse of all of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." That's a bold statement, isn't it? God is bold. There was no explanation about where God came from. Just "in the beginning, God." There was no explanation about why he did it or how he did it or when he did it, or just in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's bold. You remember when Moses was getting ready to, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses was unsure. Moses argued with God quite a bit, if you remember. And he was unsure about how the people of Israel would react to him. He said, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe you have said, who should I say, Moses asked God, who should I say sent me to deliver them? I want you to listen. Exodus 3:14. This is God's response. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. That's a bold statement. He said, Moses, you just listen. You just tell them I am did it. You just tell them I am sent you. No explanation, no theological discussion, no debate. You just tell them I did it, God. That's bold. You remember when God was talking to Moses about the Passover. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And he went through all these things and he said, this is what I want you to do. And then at the end of it, he said, I am the Lord. That's bold. Jesus often dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees, and he wasn't always politically correct when he addressed them. He called them hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he calls them serpents and a generation of vipers. That's bold. I don't recommend that, by the way, unless you're Jesus Christ, unless the Holy Spirit overcomes you and, boy, you speak that. That's boldness. Now, I want you to listen to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Peter and John had just been called up in front of the Sanhedrin Council. They had been preaching in the name of Jesus. They had been talking about Jesus and preaching in His name. They had healed a guy in the name of Jesus. And so the Sanhedrin Council called them in and got on to them and scolded them and said, we don't want you to do that. We crucified that guy, and we don't want you talking about him. And the Bible says that they threatened them. Now, I'm sure what they threatened them with was physical violence. They may have threatened them with their very life. If you keep talking about Jesus, we're going to kill you, just like we killed him. So the Bible says that Peter and John went to some fellow believers, and they begin to pray. And as they begin to pray, the place was shaken. And as they began to pray, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that lives in us and lived in them came upon them. And it says that the people of God spoke the word of God with boldness. We're afraid sometimes as Christians to even say the name of Jesus, let alone proclaim His message. But in the presence of God, there is boldness. In Luke chapter 12, there's a couple of verses there, verses 11 and 12. I want to read those. And when they bring you, this is Jesus speaking to His followers, to the disciples. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. Some have taken these verses, I have to mention this first, some have taken these verses to say, well, you know, no need in particular for a minister, no need to prepare a message, no need, just pray and get up there and let the Holy Spirit fill your voice and speak whatever He tells you to speak. No need to prepare to be used of God, no need to study to be used of God, just get up and do it. Listen, boldness is not foolishness. Preacher or Christian, missionary or Sunday school teacher, talking to your next door neighbor or speaking to a group of thousands, prepare what you're going to say. I would never get up in this pulpit unprepared. Now, I might get up here and change what I'm doing because the Holy Spirit moves and changes things, but I would never be so presumptuous or insulting to you to not prepare a message to speak. Prepare to be used of God. Pray about what God wants you to do. But listen, when the moment comes to speak, speak with boldness, trusting in the presence of God that gives you boldness to speak. A few times in the last 16 years, I've had people say, "Well, you know, Pastor said you just get up there and talk like you know what you're talking about." I got y'all fooled. They've told me, said, "You get up there and say things like that's just the way it is." When we proclaim the Word of God, that is the way it is. When we speak the Word of God, we speak it without apology and with boldness in the presence of God. When they prayed, the place was shaken, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. In His presence, there's boldness. Next, in His presence, there is protection. We like this a little better than the boldness part, because the boldness part requires us to speak, to do something about it. Acts 18:9-10. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.'" Paul was in Corinth, spreading the gospel message, and in Corinth there were people who opposed the gospel just like there were every place else that Paul went. But Paul apparently was a little bit worried. Apparently there had been some threats made against him, and so Jesus came to him and spoke to him in a vision through the Holy Spirit, spoke to him in a vision, said, "Listen, I don't want you to worry. I'm going to take care of you. No man will come upon you to harm you. In the presence of God, there is protection." Amen. We worry about our safety, don't we? I mean, come on, we have seat belts and we have helmets, and when we ride the bicycle, we have pads for our bodies. We have all these. You go buy any product at Walmart or any other store, and there on the back there's all caution labels. Do not do this. Do not do that. This could be harmful. Well, when you plug this into the socket, be careful. We're worried about our physical safety. But in the presence of God, there is the protection of God. Now, I want you to know something. That does not mean that we're exempt from something bad happening to us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things includes bad things. I didn't give J.D. this scripture, so it won't be on your screen. Look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul speaking. I want you to listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11:24. He says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." That's 195 lashes with the whip. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. "Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." And by the way, that time he was stoned and left for dead. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the ocean, in the sea, for a night and a day from the shipwreck. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Those are not good things. We are not exempt. Christians, we are not exempt from bad things happening to us. We live in a sinful world. We live in a corrupted world where there is sin, and sin brings problems. Where we got this idea, I do know too. Preachers have preached it. Shame on us. But where we got this idea that nothing bad will ever happen if you're a Christian is foolishness. Jesus was crucified. That's not good. He was beaten. They put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it into his scalp. That's not good. 11 of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ were martyred because they were Christians. They were killed because they were Christians. They were hung. They were drugged by wild horses. One case, there was a gentleman, pastor of a church in the New Testament. He was put in a copper pot and boiled to death because he was a Christian. Those are not good things. Why do we think that when something bad happens to us today, oh, God's just not doing His job. God's forgotten me. This is all God's fault. All things includes bad things. But none of those things that happened to Paul defeated him. All of those things that happened to Paul resulted for the glory of God and the presentation and the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, difficult times are going to come. Bad things are going to happen, but they do not have to defeat us if we will not let them. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 29, these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's the Christians. "And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, because we have eternal life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Difficult times may come, but they will not defeat us if we stay in the presence of God. No power, no force on earth, no man, no kingdom, no nation, no government is able to pull us out of the hands of God, of the presence of God. We are safe in His presence. In His presence, there is protection. All we have to do is stay there. Jesus said, "I know the ones who hear me and follow me." Hear Him and follow Him, and in His presence there is protection. Finally, in His presence there is encouragement. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness at Rome.'" This is one of those times when Paul was in jail. And he had been before the council once again, and they had an uproar had started, and the Roman guard in that area and in charge of the Roman forces in that area, the Bible says he was afraid they were going to pull Paul apart. You go back and read it. He's afraid they were going to pull him apart. So he arrested Paul, put him in prison. Then a group of 40 men decided that they were not going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. They pronounced a curse upon themselves and said, "This curse come upon us if we eat or drink anything before we kill Paul." He was in a mess. And so God came to him, and in the presence of God, he experienced encouragement. He said, "Listen, it's going to be all right, Paul. You're going to make it all the way to Rome. You're going to spread the gospel in Rome just like you've done in Jerusalem." Listen, I know there are times in our lives, boy, when we need encouragement, right? Life is hard. Life gets tough. We go through stuff. We go through difficult times. Maybe you're one of those that's enduring long-lasting pain, chronic pain. Boy, that gets tough. Maybe you're facing a chronic disease or a terminal disease. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling at work. Maybe you're struggling at school. Whatever it might be, sometimes life just gets hard. There are difficulties, and sometimes we just need encouragement. Oh, in the presence of God, there's encouragement. In Joshua, the first part of Joshua, Joshua was taking over for Moses. You know, Moses died, and it became Joshua's task, first of all, to replace Moses. That's a big chore. It was a big job. And then part of what he had to do was to lead the people of Israel literally into the promised land. And when they got there, they were going to have to do battle with all the people who were already there. Now, God promised victory, but they had to take up weapons and they had to fight. So Joshua was facing replacing a legend, leading a group of people who were relatively inexperienced in battle to defeat an entire group, entire nations of people. And there was going to be internal squabbling. I mean, let's face it, for 40 years, these people had been squabbling already. And it wasn't going to stop just because Joshua took over. Joshua needed encouragement. This is what the Lord said, Joshua 1:9. "Have not I commanded thee?" He said, this is what he said. Now, first of all, he said, "Now, Joshua, I put you here for a reason. I'm not going to put you here and leave you to do this all by yourself." That's the first thing we need to know as Christians. God has put you where you are for a reason, Christian. And He's not going to put you there and leave you all alone to do whatever He wants you to do without His help. He's going to be there. He is with you always. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what's coming. It doesn't make any difference. I am with you. God is with you. Have you ever wanted to go someplace, but you didn't want to go by yourself? Maybe it was a new place. Maybe you weren't exactly sure what they were going to do or how it was going to be done. And you'd kind of like to go. You'd like to find out, but you're just a little afraid to go by yourself. So you try to get somebody else to go with you. You know, and there's security in numbers. That's what God says to Joshua. You're going into the promised land, Joshua, but you're not going by yourself. I am with you. Wherever you go, I'm there. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Listen, I don't know what you're going to face in your life. I don't know what you're facing right now, most of you. Some I have a little bit of ideas because you've told me. But the depth of your sorrow, I don't know. The difficulty of your life, I don't know. What's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or 5 years down the road? I don't know. And it doesn't make any difference because I do know that wherever you go, whatever you face, Christian, God is with you. And in His presence, there's boldness. Enjoy the boldness and proclaim His name. And in His presence, there's protection. Don't worry about the stuff that's happening. There's protection. And in His presence, there's encouragement. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distressed. Be encouraged in the presence of God. Would you stand with me this morning? Cher, would you come? We'll just let Cher play this morning. I'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Christian, I cannot explain to you, I cannot describe to you how wonderful it is, what a great blessing, what a great privilege it is to have Almighty God with us all the time. Every second we are in His presence, what a blessing. Could we just relax a little bit and enjoy His presence? And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can have the very same thing. God will be present with you all the time. All you have to do is confess that you're a sinner, ask Him to forgive you, and part of what will happen, your sins will be forgiven, but part of what will happen is that the Holy Spirit will come and inhabit you, indwell in you, and God will be with you all the time. If you have a need this morning, you come while Sherry plays.